On the show this week, we've been covering the unrest in Belarus in the wake of a disputed election. President Alexander Lukashenko has held the position since the office was established 26 years ago, and officially he received 80% of the vote this time around. But protesters say it was rigged. The president has refused to step down, and the result has led to days of street protests with thousands of people detained. Many say they were beaten. Now, in the latest development, the European Union has said it doesn't recognise the results of the election either, and it'll be imposing sanctions on those responsible for defrauding it. Dan Pelashuk is a journalist based in Ukraine. He went to Belarus to report on the events and was arrested himself, writing about the experience for BuzzFeed. He's now back in Ukraine and joined me earlier from the capital, Kiev.
So I was detained. There were sort of two phases of my detention. The first kind of 12 to 16 hours, closer to 16 hours, I believe, I was held in, I was held together with about give or take 40 other people in a local city police precinct, mostly in the gym of the police precinct. And then the next day and a half of my detention, I was transported along with my fellow detainees to a detention center about 60 kilometers outside Minsk. And so in both cases, it was very much a very tense waiting game. At the police precinct, we were all just sort of sitting around or laying around, really, in various stages of frightened tension, waiting to be called in to have our arrest sheets written out to be sort of formally charged with the administrative offense of taking part in an unsanctioned rally, I believe was the official charge, offering up to 15 days in prison. And so there we were just kind of waiting, called in one by one. Occasionally, there was a time in the middle of the night where the riot police burst in and began unleashing a tirade of anger and expletives at us and sort of meeting out random beatings to those who weren't deemed submissive enough.
So you witnessed violence in that facility. You saw people being beaten.
I did. I saw people being beaten. I saw the level of hate and anger that was from the riot police themselves. Now, there's a very big distinction between the local guards and the precinct that were guarding us, who were either indifferent or just kind of like lightly making fun of us or sort of lightly sort of, I guess, teasing us. And then the OMON riot police, who were extremely angry and extremely violent and who would actually, you know, dole out beatings to us.
Now, you got out. You're back in Ukraine now. But given that, do you get the sense that this unrest is going to continue? What's the next chapter here?
You know, when speaking about it the other day, I said that it's difficult to have a gut sense about what's going to happen. And I still feel that way, essentially. It seems that things are so fluid and situation changes by the day. You know, it was extremely frightening when I was there, when I was arrested. And one of the lasting memories that I have of the experience is after picking my passport up upon release and leaving toward the airport, you know, watching the streams of protesters hit the streets and line the streets dressed in white or hoisting white accessories, which is sort of the symbol of the opposition movement. I was overcome with emotion because I felt very hopeful. And then, you know, watching the news the next day, seeing how President Alexander Lukashenko is seemingly unwilling to cede any ground, the picture seemed to appear very, very negative again. So it's difficult to say, in short. It's difficult to understand what's going to happen. But I do think that, and certainly one of the senses that I got, again, from my cellmates and from being around the people that were arrested, that some sort of, in terms of the relationship between the regime and the people, some sort of Rubicon has been crossed. And, you know, there's sort of no going back to the way things had been, at least for Lukashenko and his regime, in terms of sustaining this police state and support of the people.
Vladimir Putin has pledged his support for the president, and we're hearing the military could get involved. How do you see that playing out?
I think that is much less of a risk than it was in Ukraine. I mean, Russia certainly has the military resources to stage an intervention, but I think the calculation that Mr. Putin has to make is that probably no one in Belarus would welcome that, unlike in Ukraine, where you had a very kind of divided population, sentiments that were very easily inflamed, either anti-Russian or pro-Russian. In Belarus, no one's waving Russian flags or, you know, welcoming the Russians, asking them for help. The only one asking them for help is a very highly embattled Lukashenko. So I think that's the calculation that Putin has to make, but I'm inclined to say it's one that he will back down from, because it's not in his interest to essentially invade a country the vast majority of whose population does not, you know, want to see Russian troops on the ground.
Journalist Dan Pelashuk speaking to me there from Kiev.